Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, so this is a topic that has dominated the headlines, dominated a lot of people's consciousness, mystified, annoyed. I mean, there are people out there that, you know, you see them, they're celebrating, you know, they think that this is the greatest thing ever. And that is the leaked memorandum, the Supreme Court memorandum, evidently written by Justice Alito, that suggests, in short, that Roe v. Wade could be overturned. And, you know, we think back to Rhode Island and codifying Roe v. Wade ostensibly here in the state, and many leaders saying, oh, it'll never get overturned. I mean, that's complete nonsense. I mean, it's made up. You guys are crazy. But here we are. It hasn't happened yet. There could be public pressure to make it such that it doesn't happen. But we're in a very uncomfortable position in terms of women's rights, healthcare rights, so on and so forth. And joining us right now is Jocelyn Foy of the Women's Project to break this down. And I don't even know where to start. It's like one of those things where, like, I don't know. I mean,
let's start on the positive.
Let's start on the positive. So, take us away.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. I'm Jocelyn. I am the director of the Woman Project. We are a confusing name. We have that X in our name to try and be as intersectional as possible and invite as many gender and non-gender conforming folks to be seen within this movement as well. In 2017, we started. We're a five-year-old not-for-profit here in Rhode Island, specifically, but doing some work outside of Rhode Island in partnership with some other orgs that are doing incredible work in the southern states and just trying to help and amplify most, basically what's going on in different regions so Rhode Islanders get a sense of what's happening here and what more work we should really be doing to make Rhode Island as safe as possible for all, and then how to help others. So we started in 2017 all volunteer and just said, we have this crazy law in the books that if Roe were overturned, and Trump at that moment had just gotten elected as president, we saw it as a moment where we said, if he puts in more than two Supreme Court justices, he has a majority vote that he could do this. And in Rhode Island, our laws were as bad as they are in Alabama, where abortion practitioners would be tried as murderers. And so we said, well, how do we use the power of grassroots activism and take cues from fabulous organizing that was being done around the country around same-sex marriage? So meeting folks where they are, rather than asking you to come to the state house or to call your general assembly member. Like, how do we meet people? And so some of us were policy wonks, some of us were artists and professors, and so we were just like, let's use what we know. And so we kind of merged this sort of idea of art and activism, and some of it had to become very traditional activism, some of it still remains very non-traditional. So we, in a short period of time, in collaboration with a number of folks, and mind you, this bill had been worked on for 24 years prior to our showing up. I mean, it was in the sight lines of so many general assembly members, but didn't have sort of, I mean, as I like to call it, the outside game, which is just some crazy organizing that needed to happen to, like, kind of rile up folks and to kind of educate. And that's what we really did, was is not only do we in this process that we do this work, educate people to the process of how to change law, but we also educate people on how to get involved in government. And it's interesting because over time, so many of our volunteer leaders have run for government because they're just like, okay, we get it now. So it's this pipeline of activism and education as well. So the bill passed, and what that did is it codified the right, meaning for people who have insurance in Rhode Island that covers abortion, that makes it safe to get the abortion. But for people who are in insurance plans that don't cover abortion, they can go, they would still have to go to a clinic. We have two in the state that that do that. Or if you're on Medicaid or a state worker, in the case of Rhode Island specifically too, we don't have that coverage. And so at the federal level, that's called the Hyde Amendment. That was a guy named Hyde came in and he shut down that, right? And he shut down a pathway for a lot of conservative states to make it difficult for people to be able to get that coverage if they were a state worker on this health plan, this state subsidized health plan. So what we're trying to fight for is while we passed a bill that ostensibly covers people who have the means to have the insurance coverage that covers abortion, because we all know that every insurance plan is different. Everyone is so difficult to understand what is included and what's not. We absolutely know that the state workers and Medicaid recipients in Rhode Island do not have that right. So we are fighting ostensibly against the Hyde Amendment, and we're fighting for poor folks, the folks who have to have Medicaid, and for folks who are working with us and for us every day at the state level, state offices.
And there's just so much in there, you know, because it does start out with this, like you say, a victory, if you will, inside of the states, inside of the state house, inside in terms of codification here within the state. And but it drifts very quickly into this scary moment.
Very quickly. And, you know, it's crazy because you have a lot of general assembly members who will say to us, oh, well, we took care of that in 2019. The abortion issue is gone. And we agree. The abortion issue is gone. The race equity issue is not. So we as a state are not willing, once again, to acknowledge that we have a blind spot and that is taking care of everyone. We've said, okay, the wealthy folks can get it. So the Women Project has really been working to say, hate to call it out to y'all, but we've got a racism issue here,
yeah.
You know, and that's really what is hard. And people don't like to be called racist. You know, I think that we're at a point with the leakage of the decision that we here at the Women Project have decided we don't care what
yeah.
they think. And it's sort of time to say, you know, call it like it is. So we have folks who think that this was passed in the General Assembly, this part, this protection for all Rhode Islanders, and we're like, no. We have people who thought that, you know, everyone would be able to get the access they need if they didn't have it, and we're like, you realize there's only two clinics, and they're both centralized in Providence. So if you're someone living in Newport, and you don't have a car, then we're ostensibly looking at abortion deserts in our own state, where often many of these national reports say, oh, Rhode Island's good. It's like, are you freaking kidding? Like, no, not at all. But
yeah.
that's an easy summary to make.
Yeah. And I want to get to efforts to include, you know, to budget amendments and Governor McKee and so on
yeah.
and so forth. But I can't let it pass either. You know, this notion that we're hearing, I mean, I was at the first gubernatorial debate, and, you know, Ashley Kalis, the Republican candidate for governor, or one of two, the primary candidate for governor, you know, says, look, you know, I'm personally pro-life, but in Rhode Island, it doesn't make any difference. We've protected the right to an abortion here anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Alan Fung, who is running for Congress, and quite frankly, has a good shot at winning the Congressional District 2 race, has a similar approach here. It's either willingly ignoring the reality, or at some point information has been so distorted that the GOP in the state, which, look, that's part of their platform, I guess, is to say that abortion is not healthcare, whatever it is, for whatever reason. They I don't know if it's religious fanatics, if it's playing into national politics. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, they're not willing to be honest about this. What's your message to conservatives who are putting it out there that Rhode Island has full access to abortion for everybody?
Well, I mean, they're not doing their work. It's like, that's an easy thing to say because it's of the time, but it's wrong. It's misinformation. And basically, we're looking for them to step up and show true leadership and not skirt away from the big A word, which so many people hate to say, which is abortion. And we need to destigmatize that. We need to just call it what it is. It's a healthcare procedure. and it's basically taking care of the health and well-being of some of their constituents, and it's time for them to kind of deal with it. It's something that, you know, I would love to be able to say to all folks is like, look, we're at a juncture in this country, in this state, where we are all struggling with so many things. There's so much going on. Like, take it from just health with COVID versus school education issues, like the whole nine yards. But what we're kind of looking for is that folks get, at this point, the right to make the decision for what's best for them. We're looking for people to have the right to get the access, but not to tell them what is best for them to do. So, You know, I think that it's incredible. We hear so much in the COVID debate where people are just like, I want to be able to make the best decision for what's best for me when it comes to vaccinations. We'd like that to be able to apply to abortion. And so we're really looking at like this sticky wicket here where we have so much science behind the fact that these are safe procedures and these folks will be taken care of and the life and health outcomes of the mother are prioritized. And we really need them to have the space. We need our religious, folks to really kind of dig into the preachings of their churches, which just is like, you know, do unto others as you'd want them to do to you. And so here we are at this moment where we hope that there is some sort of space for folks to be able to be trusted that they can make that best decision for themselves.
Right.
And not have government get included in that way.
Yeah, it's being able to separate the policy of on a governmental level from that of a personal level, which in many instances is very intertwined. I understand that, you know, there are things that are universally, you know, criminal, you know, rape, murder, da-da-da-da-da, like that we can all agree on. Okay, well, yeah, you can't say, well, I'm personally in favor of rape. I understand it's against the law, but, you know, I'm personally, like, but common sense,
sense. I could dive into an argument about why COVID vaccinations are more healthy and, you know, should be standardized in an abortion debate over choice too. So it's all, there's nuance there, but I think that I would ask anyone who is of spiritual understanding is to sort of dig in and think about how we need to put faith in others to take care of themselves. If they're showing all the means that they can, I think that we're at a place where that's where we need to go. And it's a humanitarian, we're looking to build dignity into culture.
Right.
But, you know, anyway.
Yeah, it's just such a hard, I don't even know what, you know, I don't even know how to address this issue other than, you know, it's just one of those things that I have a hard time. There are things that people who have different political philosophies put forth from time to time that I may even fundamentally disagree with, but I sit there and I think, well, I can see where you're coming from. Let's have this debate on, I mean, even with vaccination, like I am fully pro-vaccination, like I'm vaxxed, boosted. I think it all makes perfect sense. But when Sam Bell put forth a bill that would require, codify that you must be vaccinated or you'll be fined, I said, well, wait a second. I'm not sure. I kind of hear the opposition on this. I don't necessarily agree with the opposition, but I get where they're coming from. On this, I cannot figure it out because it's not as if, you know, abortion is being mandated and everyone has to, you know, it's not, this isn't China where like every, you know, second birth or every, whatever it is has to, you know, is subject to abortion. I mean, it's just, it's weird that it's become the type of topic that it's become. And I find it stunning that we're even having this conversation right now.
I know. And I mean, you know, I think that there's a couple things. I think that we're at that moment where you have a lot of activists saying, well, then I think we should just force men to have vasectomies at the age of 18, and then that can be reversed. And how does that make them feel? And it's like, look, I don't want anyone to have to go into any procedure that, you know, puts them under a knife. Like, less in hospitals, the better. But I think that there's this question of, with the overturning of this bill at the federal level, what is going to happen is there's a new precedent that will have been formed, right? So there will be a right that will be taken away from more than 50% of our country's population, which is the right to be able to do this kind of thing that's a person choosing what's best for them when it comes to a health procedure. And then that opens the door to so many other incredible, like, progressive, but progressive's not even the right word, decent legislation, like the right to be married to same sex, the right to be able to have contraception, the right to be able to, oh my God, I listened to this whole thing yesterday that broke it all down. I encourage everyone to listen to a podcast called Cafe. It's called The Insider with the former Attorney General, Preet Bharara. He's talking about this from a legal perspective, but then he really makes it simple too. And so it just, it's like this bill opens a precedent that so many other Supreme Court decisions can follow, which puts so much civil security and safety into question and at the hands of a really tough situation. And, you know, all the conversations of, well, does our Supreme Court truly represent, you know, this country anymore and all those questions. I don't understand the law. Like, that's not my expertise per se. I mean, basically, I need to get there. I need to really start really learning and be able to talk about it more. But what it does do is it says, you know, we are at a moment where a right is being taken away, and that feels just so violating. And I think that let's start from that place, right? And then what does that do? I had an interview, and I was asked, you know, well, there's the Republican Party is saying when they have a majority, they're going to try and pass a bill that's going to make abortion illegal across the country.
Yeah.
And how does that make me feel as a woman? And I will say for folks listening, I'm a cis white woman. And what that means to me is that, you know, like everything right now, it reminds me that, first of all, this right is still real. This reminds me that people will find ways to do things. It's just not going to be in the safety of possibly clinics or hospitals. And so that just brings into it levels of security questions. And I think that, unfortunately, in this country, we're going to have to see some horrible things for hearts and minds to change. And that's just so upsetting because we've already seen it. You know, we've had 50 years of this fight. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here just shaking my head because it's such a wild thought of what this could tip off in terms of additional things being overturned that seem just common sense. And you mentioned same-sex marriage, and I mean, the list goes on. And just looking at countries where these rights are not either legal or they're very, very dubiously legalized and still stigmatized in a serious way. I mean, we cannot allow the Western world, the globe as a whole, the global South, whatever, we should be moving forward as a whole and leading that charge and not regressing into, you know, banana republic type of laws. I'd ask here in these last this last minute or so, obviously equity and access is the charge here in Rhode Island right now in terms of, for those, as you say, who are state workers, Medicaid, Medicare, so on and so forth. What are, you know, big picture aside, because obviously the big picture is fighting to ensure that this memorandum doesn't go any further than just that, a memorandum. But right now, what is your call to action to folks? There's been rallies. What's your call to action?
Great question. Oh, our call to action at the moment is, if you're fired up, if you're feeling like you really need to, you really want to help, we have a website that's called stopabortionbansri.org. And it will give you calls to action right away. So there's going to be a bill this Thursday, a bill hearing in the House Finance Committee. So the way the process works, right, is they start in committee and then they go to the floor for a full vote and then the governor can sign it. So we're calling on the governor, one, to do a budget amendment for the 2023 budget. Now that's tricky because that means if this ruling is actually decided in June, we'll still have 6 or 5.5 months where people would be without the right.
Yep.
So we're calling on the House and the Senate to bring these bills to the floor for a vote. We have majority vote in the House and Senate, but we have to get them out of the committees. And that's the game that's being played right now with leadership and the House and Senate side. They don't want to get them out of committees. They don't even want to get them into committees, frankly. Like, there's been a lot of talk there. So we do have a committee hearing on the finance for the House on Thursday. So we would ask folks if they're willing, we would love them to submit testimony. If you go to that webpage I mentioned, we will have a letter to the editor kit you can write. That's a really great way to get involved. How to get testimony, a testimony writing kit. Reach out to us and ask for help. We have a team that's standing by to get people signed up. And if you feel like you have the energy and the interest and the flair, we would love you physically in the State House. We're starting to need to be an actual presence in the State House again, where we're standing out and cheering and rallying with signs. You don't have to talk to anyone. You can just stand in the rotunda with a sign and hand it and like hold it up. But we're calling on the leadership of the House and Senate to get it out of committee. So the ask is, like, skip the committee proceedings. Yeah. They don't have to do that. That is a procedural thing. But we know that leadership is doing that so that they can make sure that this bill doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. They don't want to see it for their election years and for their members, because nobody wants to have to use the A word again.
Bingo. So that's exactly
we're
asking
it. People to use the power of their voice and the power of momentum.
Thursday's the big one to start. Jocelyn Foy with the Women Project here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.